board wedding photographer based in Nairobi.
How did you get into wedding photography particularly? Because I would understand that people say that they're photographers, they get into photography a particular way.
Yeah.
You specifically say wedding photography, so why wedding photography?
My very first interaction with photography, wedding setups. So back in 2011, 2012, I was hanging out with a group of guys. By that time I just was intrigued by the images I saw that these guys were producing. But I didn't believe that I would make such images anywhere. In fact, I wanted to become a DJ. So come 2012, Joe McKenney asked me to shoot with him once. And that's how I got into the shutterbug bit. 2013, I had friends of mine who were either doing weddings or being wed. So I had gotten a small point and shoot Nikon from one of my granddads. And I would just go just to shoot and just see, can I possibly make images like they do? Well, and I was pretty much excited by what I was seeing at the back of the screen, but there are technical aspects that I didn't know. So that's what I did the whole of 2013. 2014, I got an SLR from a friend. And in March 22nd of the same year, one of my friends from campus was having his wedding. And so I picked up my camera, went for the wedding, asked a fellow photographer, friend of mine called Kariko, to show me. I'd heard about shutter speeds, ISOs, but it was all gripped to me at that point. So he showed me the correlation between these things. And from that time on, I just started shooting weddings. And that's how I got into weddings.
So is it presumptuous of me to say that you enjoy wedding photography?
I do enjoy wedding photography for two reasons. One, it presents a set number of challenges. Sometimes it could be lighting conditions that are not perfect, but I still have to get a great shot. It could be the couple in question is not exactly a lively one, so it's me trying to bring out a lively side out of people at an occasion. Weddings are generally joyous things, but there are other things, other aspects that would otherwise make a wedding ceremony not be as joyous. Something so small as the caterer didn't bring food on time and everyone is miffed. So you have to find a way to bring out the best in people in as much as there are these challenges. Secondly, it's got other genres of photography tied into it. So there's portraiture, there's fashion, there's product. And all of these things have to tie in to make this beautiful wedding story. And so I find such rigors quite mentally challenging for me, number one. And I'm generally, because of my nature as an individual, I'm more extroverted than introverted. So it just presents me a great avenue to really express who I am as a creative.
How do you represent yourself with your work? Because wedding photography is, I'd say it's, unless you're specifically photographing with a particular style, how do you represent your work? Because almost everyone I know works in this field at a certain point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest complaints is the humdrum and the routine of photographing weddings. So your representation has got to be a very individualistic way of doing things.
Yes.
How do you represent yourself?
Okay, so for me, I aim always, when I'm shooting a wedding, to create the most beautiful memories I can. First for the client, and then for me. So when it comes to shooting, at that point, I usually go for moments. It could be something so subtle. There could be a wide smile or a very faint smile, a smile all the same. So I look for subtleties that most people wouldn't otherwise notice. And that's what I go for. And that defines or that's how I present myself as a photographer. I'm not very keen on macro expressions. I like micro expressions. It could be, and I know this would probably sound really bad, but there could be that one aunt in your wedding who really doesn't like the guy you're marrying. So she'll sneer. And for me, probably I'd be like, when you shoot that, they'll be like, oh, Auntie so-and-so came, and she had her traditional sneer over anything. Mm-hmm. So to them, they'll be like, yeah, she came. It's a happy memory for them, but at the same time, they relate with who she is as an individual.
Right.
For people who are going to view my work online,
right,
I want for them to feel like they were part of the ceremony without necessarily being there. So it's, oh, they're dancing now. So it's capture as many moments of people dancing. And it could be a certain gesture. It could be two guys dancing, their buddies, and they point to each other. And in that moment, you can feel like, oh yeah, I was actually there seeing these guys do this together. So that's how I represent myself.
Okay.
And that way I'm able to create memories for the client. So when I get back to my digital studio, of course, which is a laptop, as I'm editing this wedding, I relive those moments. There are weddings when I go back to and I remember what I even had for breakfast. And there are some which I remember, oh, snap, I was on my phone and I missed a moment. You can easily remember these things when you're going back through your work. So for me, that's how I present myself. I always tell my clients, I'm here to give you beautiful memories, and that's what I stand to do. And so it could be a tear when the vows are being read. It could be your grandmother who really, I mean, who's quite old, and she's like, my grandchild is getting married, and they came. And that to me is, there's one wedding particularly I remember I shot sometime last year. So the groom and the bride did not have the traditional wedding sitting setup, like high table. No. They had tables for everyone, and they decided they're going to go around each table saying hi to everyone. I didn't see them eating. But they got to their grandmother, the guy's grandmother, and she hugged them so close together. And when she released her embrace, she kind of stroked the cheek of the groom. It was such a heartwarming gesture. To this day, when I look at it, I for the lack of a better word, there's some emotion of, wow, I can feel the love between grandmother and grandson and the new bride who has been accepted in as a granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's showing this affection in such a raw, very real manner. To me, that's a beautiful memory for myself.
Yes.
They probably don't know this, but I teared up a bit. I was like, wow, this is such a... Okay, I need to stop crying now. Look for other things to shoot.
So, I'm going to give you a question. I want you to think about it, and then we'll get back to it.
Sure.
Do you have a quote that you live by? I want you to get back to that. But the question I have right now is...
Yes.
We normally have... our education in such creative fields, especially in our part of the world, in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But the image that is portrayed here is that we are a backward third world society, which to certain areas is applicable,
yes.
Other areas is not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a creative faculty like the first world or the alleged first world does.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a monumental paradigm shift in the past 10 years where we've all learned from digital platforms and we've managed to pick up and sort of bridge that gap very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So without complicating the entire thing, I'm going to ask you an uncomplicated question.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, what is your inspiration when it comes to your creative art? Do you have any inspirations with respect to individuals? And what are you aspiring to do?
Right. In the one thing I'd say, that Africa has sort of maintained in respect to creativity is its traditions and customs. There are no two tribes or no two communities who have the same style of music or dance or painting, for those that would paint, or especially on our bodies. And so that to me serves as an inspiration, because I find myself sometimes having to shoot people from two different communities. I don't know their traditions, so it presents me a chance, really, to go and study culture A and culture B and see how to bridge the two and make it look like it's one and the same thing. In wedding traditions, most African communities have the same style of doing things. So you'll find, we've had stories of the Maasai would cross over to the Kikuyu guys, steal their girls and jump over on this other end, and vice versa. Yeah. And when it comes down to a proper wedding, there is the introduction ceremony, given different names. There is the dowry ceremony, given different names, again, according to custom. And then there's a wedding, which generally now is, they say, it's friendship between two families, and by extension, between two communities. So you'd find, for example, because I am from Kikuyu, and I have Maasai ancestry on both ends of my family, I've heard this many times, it would get to a place whereby the enmity between these two communities is watered down by the mere fact that they've got in-laws across.
Mm.
So it's looked at, how can you fight against your own household?
Yeah.
So it becomes an inspiration, because wedding photography, if people use it creatively, you can use it as a tool for peacemaking. Because it's, for example, we have a wedding from two different communities. They have feuds from days of yore. We don't care about that now. We just care about the present.
Right.
But somehow, because of our upbringing and our culture and socialization, people are still stuck in those mentalities.
Mm.
But when they see certain wedding images, they go like, I can actually see love from two different people. There's a confluence of purpose,
right,
which is want to create a happy home and want to bridge relations between communities.
And now we've got to make sure that our kids are safe and happy.
Safe and happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And by extension, it just trickles down to everyone else. Mm-hmm. Of course, the people who still will be like, why? But majority of our people will be like,
it sounds a lot like a Bollywood film.
Yeah, they're not so bad after all. You know, they're not so bad after all. I have individual guys, photographers, who've inspired my work.
Right.
In Kenya, for me, most illustriously, he doesn't shoot weddings anymore.
Okay.
But he used to shoot weddings.
Right.
Osborne Asharia.
Okay.
To this date, I can confidently say, I have not seen anyone shoot weddings the way he shot them.
Right, he had a very brazen way of playing with light in the weddings. Yeah.
I remember I visited him and Joe, because they were partners, Joe McKinney.
Mm.
There's a wedding I saw between a Caucasian lady and a Kenyan man. And he had strobed the bride in a red gel. I saw that image and I was like, you're allowed to do this? I can see her face, yes, but it's all red.
Yeah.
Her dress is white, but it's still red.
Yeah.
And this is back in 2012.
Yes.
I'm like, this is madness.
Yes.
He did a creative project with wedding dresses.
Yes.
The lady, the model, was seated in front of computers and she was crying. And so I was like, okay, what is the message here? I can see the light. That's stunning.
Mm.
But I'm like, what was your creative process?
Right.
Someone else who shoots weddings, and I find his work absolutely stunning, and he's a natural light photographer. In fact, he's the one who cemented my use of being just stubborn. I will not use strobes unless it's very necessary, but as long as I have good light, I'll use it. Will Moniki.
Okay.
His way of looking at brides and grooms and detail and color, it's a joy to, it's really, really a joy to look at his work. I can confidently say that. It's actually a joy. The times when I gloss through his Instagram sometimes, and I'm like, when I grow up, I want to shoot.
So I want
to get to this point.
I am curious. I would assume that you also have the influence of the internet as
yes.
a flow of your learning and your techniques.
Yes.
But your inspirations are drawn from local photographers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does that play into the international scheme of things or the grand scheme of things?
For those are my local guys.
Right.
Like Kenya.
So you do have
international inspirations.
And I will ask you from the takeaway between those two,
mm-hmm.
are you finding a gigantic difference in the work capacities of the two? So compare the international photographers to the local photographers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that our local photographers, who are your inspirations, compare to the international level? Or are they better than the internationals? Or are they at par? Or are they lower than?
Okay, for the two I have mentioned.
Yes, because we're sticking with these two for now.
Yes, for the two I have mentioned, I can confidently say, with some bit of authority, having done photography now roughly 3 years, there are international photographers whom
right.
I've seen their work
right.
and his work.
Right.
And it's so... At par.
Okay. Now, another question I will ask you, and then going off the cuff a little, is
yes.
If you were to compare local photography
mm-hmm.
standards
mm-hmm.
to one, to compare it to the East African standards,
mm-hmm.
and second, compare it to international
okay.
standards, where do you think we stand?
Kenyan photographers within the last 5 to 7 years, they've surpassed what I've seen from the East African community. I know there are other photographers who are really good from Tanzania, Rwanda, Uganda, Burundi.
But we're talking about majorities.
Yes, but we're talking about majorities. But from home, from here, I honestly think that we are way ahead.
Okay.
Where we are.
But you think we're still below international par? As a majority?
As a majority, yes.
Why?
A bit lower. Because there is... How do I say this? There's a way when you look at an international client. I mean, sorry, photographer.
Mm.
And the sort of clients they attract.
Okay. Okay. So you're more valuing the international photographers based on the kind of clients they attract?
Not per se.
Okay.
I'm just comparing the two. I'm not valuing them any
okay.
higher.
Okay.
I'm just comparing the two instances.
Okay.
Not to mean that we've not gotten international clients
fair
who look at our Kenyan photographers. No, I'm just looking at, for example, since I'm in the wedding business, this guy,
okay.
wedding photographer. From the States.
Okay.
So he says, I think his base rate is about $10,000 for just to shoot a wedding, and that's just show up.
Right.
Should the wedding not give any product.
Right.
Here, on the other hand, we've not gotten to that level. Because when you translate, when you look at now in terms of economics
right.
and the markets they sell, they're completely different. But as far as skill goes, we can take these guys on. Because us guys are like, okay, we've learned from you. We've sort of learned where our deficiencies are, and we are countering those deficiencies.
Right.
And we will do so by every possible means.
Okay.
And we will come at you.
Okay.
So when we sit down really and say, or when someone says, no, Kenyan photographers are not yet ready for the international market, I say that's a whole bunch of bull. I mean, the two of our photographers we know who are already doing international gigs.
Right.
And not just small international gigs. It's not a small little thing. It's not a paltry thing. It's this is a campaign, an
right.
ad campaign. It's going to run the whole of North America
right.
and parts of Europe.
Right.
So they're like, wow.
Well, that's very serious talk for a light podcast.
you decided out the hand to
I
do
did,
this.
Yeah. We were driving into that direction. It did seem quite relevant.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to get these perspectives, because then, you know, we also begin to realize that we aren't too far apart from what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear that the perspective is changing here.
And the other thing I'm going to add on to that is the local market has come to a place whereby it has recognized, wait, we don't have to go far.
Mm.
We don't have to call a photographer from the United States
right.
to come and shoot our
right.
stuff. We can easily get
right.
that same of quality
yeah.
right here.
Well, it's like I said, it's great to hear these perspectives, because it then helps people understand and evaluate where we stand in
mm-hmm.
the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. We've got a long way to go, but we're well on our way there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get back to that question. Is there a quote you live by?
Yes. As one, I'm a Christian. So there's a memory verse in Philippians
okay.
4. And it simply says, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is truthful, think about such things. Translated into Latin, it's nobilis, which is noble, verum, which is truth, existimatione, of good repute, or reputable. And that has been my mantra. Because without pursuing a noble purpose, or pursuing something noble, it's hard. It's really hard to remain focused in life.
Okay.
If you're not able to be truthful first with yourself, it's very hard for you to be truthful with anyone else.
Fair enough.
If you do not have a good reputation, it's unlikely that people want to be associated with you. Unless the people would want to be associated with you based on your bad repute. Unless they themselves are a bad repute.
All right, Pastor, it was fun having you. Thanks for your time.
You're
and,
welcome. It's been fun having this interview, my first podcast interview.
Thank you.
You're welcome.